If you take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. If you have your Bible open here to the Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter, we'll begin reading in just a moment with the 27th verse, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. I speak to you on a subject that's very dear to me because it's one I desperately need in my own life. And so I want to help you as God has helped me. And oh, do I need the help in this area. Most of the time when we read or quote from the 11th chapter of Matthew, we only deal with the 28th and 29th and 30th verses. But to understand what we're reading in the 28th, 29th, and 30th verses, we need to include verse 27. The Bible says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark that last expression found in the 30th verse. My burden is light. My burden is light. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think who is speaking, what he's speaking about. He came from glory to earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He went to Calvary and bore our sin debt and the debt of the whole world. He tasted death for every man on the cross where he bled and died. And he's declaring here, my burden is light. No one who ever walked the earth suffered as he suffered. No one ever went through what he went through. No one. No human being has ever come close to what he went through. When the bitterness of God's wrath rolled on the Son of God as he tasted death for every man, and he paid our debt in full, and cried out from Calvary, "It is finished." Not "I am finished." It is finished. Redemption's plan finished. Salvation's way finished. The only way for a man to get to God is finished. The only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the work is finished. And he says, my burden is light. I want to understand this. I need God's help. I've lived most all of my life around suffering people. My father suffered all of his life. He was born with a condition that was referred to in summary terms as infantile paralysis. He limped every day of his life, one foot weaker and disformed from the other one. Had one eye. He lost that eye, the one that he lost when he was 11 years old. His entire family was an arthritic type family. I never met a relative of his family that wasn't bent over or hobbling around with an arthritic condition. And he was. Then he lost his father when he was 10 years old. He lost his grandfather in the same kind of accident 6 months later. His mother disappeared. He and his two brothers, three of them, were sent off to different relatives. He alone, his two brothers, to one home where they lived with different aunts. And the aunts, they had one upstairs and other downstairs, and he alone. Life never was kind to him. It's taken me a long time in life to try to understand his suffering and what he went through. And he did not come to know the Lord till a very short while before he died. This is a world of suffering and a world of hurt all around us. But even those of us who say we know the Lord, even those of us who say we not only know the Lord, we've tried to live for the Lord, find ourselves caught between things at times that cause great anguish and grief. I pray often for the Lord to give me grace, a greater measure of grace than I have. Because when you start helping others bear their burdens, you need grace beyond what you have to help them bear their burden. I answered a family recently in a way I didn't want to answer them. I said, I'm exhausted with dealing with this. I'm going to have to back off and pray and ask God to guide me and help me. We're all going to have to find help that can only come from God. I reached my end. Some of you look at me sort of strangely when I say that, but I'm telling you, that's the world in which we live. I move in and out of a world of hurting people, in hospitals, and hurting homes, and funeral parlors where people have lost loved ones. And I'm taking to heart what Jesus Christ said. I want you to think of it. And let God deal with your heart about it. He said, my burden, I'm glimpsing in my mind's eye at Calvary. He says, my burden is light. Notice in the 27th verse of this chapter, the Word of God says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It is the work of the Son to reveal us to us our Heavenly Father. Remember that expression when Peter gave it at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus inquired of his disciples, whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? And his answer was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I've reminded you many times when he spoke back to Peter, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonas. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God revealed this to him. You want to know God? You want to understand God? You want to find purpose for your life and meaning? You want to understand why you're here and what you're supposed to do with your life? You want to be able to pass this on to those you love, that they might have an understanding and not go through life as some puzzled person trying to find their way through some maze of madness that the world finds itself in? Jesus said, I can reveal the Father to you. That's what he said here. Not only did he say that, he invited us. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That's a call to everyone. Notice, not just a few, not just those who claim to know him and know him well. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And if we could find one expression to describe the human race, I think this is an adequate description. All that labor and are heavy laden. Sometimes your burdens you think are too much for you to bear. And the Lord says, my burden is light. What can we understand about this? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want you to mark that word, would you? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then he describes himself. Listen carefully as the Lord Jesus describes himself. I say, what do you say of yourself, dear Lord? He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Do we have some understanding of what that means? Approachable, surrendered, given to us. ready to help us, easily entreated. You can get to him. One of the wonderful gifts of salvation is access to God. You say, my sin is forgiven. Hallelujah. My name is written in heaven. Wonderful. But along with salvation, more than 30 other things come with salvation. And one of them is you and I have access to God. Any moment, anywhere, anytime, I can have access to God through my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the right, the only one who does, to enter right in, you see, ever living to make intercession for me. And I come in his name with his record, and I can speak with God. Amen. And that's what he says. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. Would you mark that word again? Rest under your souls. Then he says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is further descriptive of what he came to do. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What was his yoke? What was his burden? If you say it is the cross, you're right. But let's back up just a bit. What did he say that he came to do? The will of the Father. The will of the Father. When the Lord describes him in Philippians chapter 2, he says he became obedient unto death. No fussing, no argument, no fighting. We all need a greater understanding of what Christ prayed in the garden when he said, if possible, let this cup pass from me. I personally believe there's a difference between dying and death, going through the process of dying and the separation of death, the death he died. And so, were his prayers answered? He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave, alive forevermore. But the Bible teaches us so many things here. If you're reading through the New Testament, you come to this portion of Scripture in the Gospel according to Matthew, you find that Christ is the rejected Savior. Matthew tells us that Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews, and the Jews rejected him. They rejected him as king. But then he turns and says, you want to know the Father? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He has a school. Did you know he has a school? In his school, his nearness we find. In his school, we're constantly in his presence if we recognize him. In his school, he's the teacher. As a matter of fact, in his school, we're indwelt by him. Christ in us, the hope of glory, in the person of God, the Holy Spirit. So he says, now I have you, learn of me. And then he goes on to say to us, as you learn of me, as you learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Oh, I want to stay here, but I want to give you another passage to help you. Look, he says, come. Then he says, take. Those are two different calls. One is as significant as the other. If I read you John 3:16, and the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, you'd say, hallelujah, that's the verse about salvation. I've come to salvation. Well, this is a verse about salvation in verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, under that awful sin load, enemies of God, weighted down with the burden of your sin, come to me. And I will give you rest. That's just one invitation. But it doesn't stop there. He says, take my yoke upon you. That's not a separate yoke. It's his yoke. We're imagining this is like a yoke of oxen with two animals, two beasts in it. There's one and there's a second yoke you can enter in. Christ is in the yoke. It's a yoke of obedience to God the Father, always to do His will. Not my will, but thine be done. That's the yoke. That's what took him to Calvary. And he says, come. Come, take my yoke upon you. Get in here with me. And when you get in here with me and observe me, come to know me and follow me, you're going to find I am truly meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. I think it's difficult. The burden is anything but light. It's frustrating. It's complicated. It is heavy. And sometimes it seems inescapable. So much so that we just get to wit's end in it. What is this business Jesus said? What is it? He says, come unto me, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. As a way for you to understand through my meekness and lowliness of heart, to understand that you shall find rest unto your souls. You're going to see my burden is easy. It seems so simple, yet it's so complicated because our big enemy self is always battling against us. But I've surrendered to Christ, died to self. He was here not to do His will, what He wanted to do, but always what God the Father wanted to do. And so He says, my yoke is easy. I have one aim, one goal. It's not complicated. No matter who the enemy may be, the world, the flesh, the devil, he had no sin nature like you and I have. But he faced the devil, called him out face to face, and defeated him with the word of God. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, I want to do something you want to do that cannot be done. May I tell you what it is? I want to get out from under the burden while I'm working and living and serving. I want to imagine that you can escape your troubles by changing your location. Industries are built around that desire. Take a trip. Find a place. Get away. Change your scenery. Change your environment. But you see, I cannot escape the ministry, and I cannot escape the Christian life. Jesus says to us, it's not a burden like you're imagining it to be. Oh, may the Spirit of God help me here. It's in it, with Him, that you can find rest. Not running from Him, but running to Him and observing Him. There is a secret place alone with God. There's something satisfying that can't be found anywhere else in the world or with anyone else. It is surrendering to the will of God and being in the will of God to find the rest that you must have for your soul. The world may, you know, do anything imaginable against you. Some sort of storm may rage, some tempest blow. But if you know you're in the hollow of His hand, you're doing His will, you're alone with Him, all is well with you and God, you can find rest that you can't find anywhere else. Do you realize something? Do you realize that we spend our entire lives trying to find that? Many people, most people, live and die and never find it. Many Christians, I think most Christians, live and die and never find it. I want to work as hard as I can work. I don't want anybody motivated more than I'm motivated. I don't want to think that anybody is a harder working banker than I am a preacher of the gospel. I don't want anybody to think anybody is a harder working businessman than I am a minister of the gospel, because I've got the highest motive that any human being could possibly have. I've been rescued from hell by the Son of God. He paid my ransom in full, and I owe it all to Jesus. Amen. And I move from that to do whatever He wants me to do. So to complain about the ministry, to complain about life, to gripe about what I have to deal with, after all I have that He's done for me, plus all I have in Him at this moment or any moment, is foolish. So, listen again. Here He says, you want to know the Father? You can't know Him except through the Son. God the Son, who is the express image of the invisible God, will reveal God the Father to you. And as He does, you come unto Him for salvation, forgiveness of your sin. And the Word of God says, if you're heavy laden, He'll give you rest. And then there with Him, having come to Him, now knowing Him, take His yoke upon you. The only yoke we know of Him having is to be obedient to God the Father. In other words, become obedient to God. You say, His way is my way. His mission is my mission. That's what you do when you take His yoke. Take my yoke upon you. And we have to start learning of Him. Go to His school and let Him teach us. Now there's a parallel passage as He says, my burden is light. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews with me, would you please? The book of Hebrews. And God speaks to us here about this subject of rest. If you mark the word in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. If you'll mark that word rest, and if you take the time to read through your Bible all the way through chapter 3 from there, all the way through chapter 4 to verse 11, you're going to find that rest is mentioned 11 times. 11 times. But let me tell you what you're going to find. I want you to write it down. There are three types of rest you're going to find. You're going to find a rest that is past, a rest that is present, and a rest that is future. You're going to find a rest that is past, that's entirely the work of God, the forgiveness of your sin. You can rest. You're no longer at war with God over the subject of salvation. You're one of God's children now. You've come to that rest. You look at the end of it. The third rest is eternal rest in heaven. You have nothing to do to earn that, nothing to do to work it, to get it to happen. It's entirely of God. But the second rest, the rest in the middle, the rest that is for this present. The Word of God says, if you'll notice, please, in chapter 4 and verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There is a rest we cannot work for. We just trust the Lord. Salvation of the Lord. There's another rest we cannot work for. It's the eternal rest we're going to get in heaven. But there's a rest in the here and now. I believe it's the same rest we find coming into the yoke with Jesus. Finding that He's meek, He's surrendered, He's in lowly of heart. And it's the struggle that we go through, battling about whether I'm going to do what God wants or what I want. What God wants or what I want. The labor between what I want and what God wants. Who I want and who God wants for me. What I want to do and what God wants me to do. And when Jesus says, my burden is light, he's speaking as a surrendered one. This is God's will. I'm living in obedience to him. I'm doing what he wants. And for the child of God, you can say, oh, I came to the Lord. I got saved. I came to the Lord. I got that rest. I'm not worried about my sin debt. I'm not worried about being dragged to hell because I'm a lost sinner. I know I'm going to heaven because I have God's word on it. But where I'm really struggling day by day between those two rests, yielding to the Lord, yielding to the Lord, and allowing God to work in my life to give me the rest that he promised I could have. Now you read through the end of chapter 3. Let me try to just help you just a bit in chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now he's talking about Old Testament people who did not believe God and suffered because of their unbelief. He's talking about the Canaan experience. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Canaan is a picture of the abundant life that God gives us here and now. He's making a reference to this. The word of God says in verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Nothing we could do to earn our salvation. Once we come to the Lord, that's settled. How many of you come to the Lord? Then you have that rest. The Bible says, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, and that's the name for Joshua here in this particular text, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, verse 9, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. Now that's when we die and go to heaven, as God did from his. It's a picture. I want to hold your place here, and I want you to stay in verse 10 at the end of it. Let me read this verse. The word of God says in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. There's coming a day when we don't labor anymore. Our works, I've explained that to you before, saying this is a work, this building in which we sit. We enjoy it, but people worked hard to get it built. And now we see this finished work, but we have no idea, those of us who weren't involved in it, I was, perhaps you weren't, of the labor that it cost. God says, someday our labor will be over. And it will. And our works, what we've accomplished for the Lord, will follow us. I'm not trying to be complicated. I'm trying to find help. Let's say I'm tired. Let's say I'm weary. Let's sing a song. My song says I've traveled down a lonely road. Or whatever we may do. I'm in this world, a pilgrim. God saved me, and I'm worried about that. I'm going to heaven. I'm settled about that. But here and now, Jesus wants to give me a sweet rest that only comes one way. What about 10 ways? Oh, let's make it simple. What about 2 ways? No. It only comes one way. And that's surrendering to do His will. Yielding to Him. His way. What He wants. Every day we live, we have the opportunity to wrestle with what we want or what He wants. And He wants us to live a life of surrender to what He wants. And He promises when we do, He'll give us rest and our burden will be light. You see, it's not the turmoil that people face or the threatening things they go through that overcome us. It's the absence of God. I can't explain this. I said old people talk about their surgeries, but I'm going to talk about one. I remember all these times, 11 different times, through surgeries, and thank you again for being patient. They say things like this: you could die from this. Oh, that's just what we have to tell you. Most likely you won't die, but you could die from this. I said to my wife, when they began to put me to sleep, when I knew this is all there was I could do, and I'd surrendered it entirely to God, God is my witness, it was just like Jesus Himself was taking my arm, smiling at me, and putting me to sleep and saying, trust me, trust me. There were some difficult things sometimes in some of the recovery, but God never left me. He never forsook me. I have a conviction that my last battle on earth will be right before I see Him. The greatest day of my life when I see Jesus face to face. Now you think about that. And the measure of grace that God will give me will be the greatest measure I've ever had. And the passing of death will be nothing. I'll have rest in that. Now, I'm human, and I say I hope it's not falling out of a plane and busting wide open on the earth, and I hope it's not going through something that's horrendous. But I know God is with me, and He will be with me, and He will never leave me or forsake me. Amen. There are times when I've had thoughts because of medications and things and surgeries and wearing off. I take no pain medicine now. Do not take anything. Don't need it. Thank God for it. But there have been times my mind's been a little messed up and I've anticipated things that aren't real. I went through one period of time where I couldn't drive by a cemetery. You say, ah, foolish. I'm just being honest with you. Foolish, yeah, oh yeah, foolish. And I said, God, help me. I'm thinking about death. Help me. But you see, it was all premature. It was just me. It wasn't God. Or He'd have been with me, preparing me, giving me peace. Because He promised that, and every time I've needed Him, He's been there. Amen. But let's imagine I wanted to fight the doctors, kick and scream, punch at people, act crazy, not yielded. I don't think there's any peace. But surrendering to the Lord in whatever it is, this is the will of God. That doesn't mean you gave up your resolve. God gives you that. You want to do something for the Lord. I'm glad. You're not passive. I'm very much alive and on fire. There's a fire inside me. I hope it's bigger than the fire outside me. But I've surrendered. And daily we're to surrender. And daily we're to give to the Lord. And daily we're to yield to the Lord. To take His yoke upon us and learn of Him. We see Him. He's meek. He's lowly in heart. And we find rest to our souls. I want you not only to be saved, that's wonderful. I want you to have the guarantee of glory. Oh, that's wonderful. Rest from your sin debt. Rest forever in heaven. But I want you to have the rest of the present rest God has promised to us in His Son. That the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. He's with you. And there's rest for us. The rest of what I want to say, the Holy Spirit will have to teach you. I can only go so far. Tackle it so many ways, approach it from so many sides. But if you really get it, you're going to have to learn it from the Lord. When you come and you take and you learn. And you don't have to give up what you're doing. I don't have to get sick of people and quit the ministry. In the ministry, in the most demanding time of it, right in the middle of it, I can find rest, not giving it up, but in the Lord. That's the way it works. Let's pray together, baby.